And welcome back to another episode of the BisonReport.com radio podcast, this being your Youngstown State preview edition. So joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ross Uglum. Ross, how are things for you on a lovely Thursday morning?
Good for sure. Excited about the game, excited to have another home contest here in Fargo. Excited to host Bo Pelini, because there's no question that that's going to be an exciting event, especially considering how last year's game turned out between these two contests. And honestly, excited to have two teams with one loss records in conference. I mean, this is a tie at the top of the league here, and something that NDSU is going to hope to break, and then certainly hope that someone picks off South Dakota State at some point in these last few Valley contests.
Absolutely. So let's dive into the news part of our podcast here to start things. And by the time that you guys listen to this, this may be out and ready. And again, this is just purely speculation on Ross and my part. But let's talk a little bit about the FCS playoff committee. They're going to be releasing their rankings for the first time at, I believe, 3 p.m. this afternoon. So by the time you listen to this, it may be already out. But Ross, where do you think North Dakota State is going to be in those rankings? And what other Missouri Valley teams do you see in there?
Well, I think your top two Missouri Valley teams at this point, you'd have to think would be South Dakota State and North Dakota State. No disrespect intended, of course, to Youngstown, but NDSU's only loss is to South Dakota State, and South Dakota State has the big NDSU win. They've got a loss, of course, to an FBS opponent, so I think, you know, those would be your two seeds. I think with NDSU being a one-loss team, they'll probably be the higher seed. I really think they should be seeded inside the top two, but you've got some teams like Sam Houston State from different parts of the country that are still undefeated. I think that the playoffs over the course of the last few years have kind of borne out that those maybe aren't real good squads, but it's hard to argue with undefeated.
Absolutely it is. And again, yesterday, I'm sure folks have listened to it before, you had to get going to the brand new facility there for the ribbon cutting. What did you think about that in terms of, it's going to be for all sports. It's going to be a fantastic facility.
Yeah, you know, it gets billed as, of course, the Shield Center. It gets billed as the basketball arena. That's where all the pitchers come from and things like that. But it really is for all sports. And that, of course, includes the most popular one, which would be football. The guys don't have to lift in a grocery store anymore. Their stuff is all kind of in the same area. Their locker rooms, of course, are in the Fargo Dome, but that's very, very close to the Shack. It's all part of the same, complex, really, up there on the most north side of campus. It's a big deal for the football program. It's a big deal for every program, but having that updated weight room, having the academic athletics offices there, and having even just the regeneration nutrition areas in that place, and being able to utilize such a excellent facility is not only, going to help the student-athletes that are there now, and that was really the focus yesterday, were the current student-athletes, but, I mean, everybody, no one's stupid. People understand, what the arms race status of recruiting is these days, and the kind of things that you have to entice students to come to your school, and that's a big deal, and it's going to be a big deal moving forward. And this is the first time in a very long time that NDSU coaches haven't had to, recruit despite the facilities. They're actually able to recruit because they have a nice setup and use that as part of their pitch instead of, selling the culture and selling all the winning and selling the staff and other things that would help a recruit kind of overcome the deficiencies that the Bison Sports Arena certainly provided.
So finally, in this news portion of the podcast here, let's talk a little bit about the tailgating lot. I know you're a big tailgater. What time does the lot open up, and what should fans expect?
Yep, so it's been a few weeks, of course, since the Bison have been around. So just like to remind everybody that tailgate lots open up 5 hours before the game. That would be 9:30 for this 2:30 contest. If you want to get in line for that general admission lot, I would say that 4 or 5 in the afternoon on Friday would be a pretty safe time. Somebody certainly is going to be in line. There's no question about that. I would suggest if you want to get a prime spot to at least go park a vehicle and see if you can't get a ride elsewhere. I know it's frowned upon, but it's certainly not enforced, and would be happy to see any Bison Report listeners and talk a little Bison football if you're out at the lots on Saturday, but enjoy the game against Youngstown State.
All right, so let's get right into this Youngstown State preview. And you obviously have to look behind you before you can look forward. So looking at last year's game, it was a fantastic game. NDSU was trailing by 14 points going into the fourth quarter and then 17 unanswered, especially with an Easton Stick four-yard run to win it. I mean, how much of last year's game do you think both teams are going to bring into this weekend's matchup?
I think it's very much like last week when you had to talk about the 2014 game against Northern Iowa. You have to talk about the 2015 game against Youngstown when you discuss this game because it was so memorable. I was in Chicago. I was staying with a friend and watching with a couple of Bison fans. We were streaming it on ESPN3, and it was a very exciting contest. It was one that really looked pretty darn bleak for quite a bit of that game, and NDSU was able to come from behind in typical Bison fashion, which just means continuing to run the ball despite being down, and were able to win that game, like you said, on that late Easton Stick touchdown, and really preserve their seeding status, keep them as a two-loss team instead of a three-loss team. And it was a big deal for last year's squad to be able to win that game at Youngstown, and it kind of set their coaching staff off.
When you think of Bo Pelini, Ross, I'm sure a few different things come to mind, but for me, from always watching him down in Nebraska, he's got some different antics that I'm very curious to see if he brings into the Fargo Dome this weekend. What are your thoughts on Coach Pelini's antics?
Yeah, no question about it. I think he's one of the more colorful characters, certainly, in college football. Probably has the best parody account on Twitter in college football, Faux Pelini. Always a crowd pleaser. I think he was actually on Bison 1660 with Chris Hansen this week, whoever the hell it is that runs that account. But Bo, you know, he got into some trouble last year. The way that he acted at the end of the game against NDSU, the way that his brother Carl acted at the end of the game against NDSU, really was something that I think kind of set that program back, at least with the Missouri Valley officials, and probably didn't help his reputation as somebody who maybe thinks he's a little bit too big for the Valley, doesn't have to respect Valley officials. It was just not a good PR move on his part, and something really that kind of, to be honest with you, took away from what was a pretty spectacular football game all around. The story coming out of that game should have been the comeback by Easton Stick and the Bison. And the story ended up being, you know, what Bo and Carl Pelini did, the two 15-yard penalties that they were forced to take. You can say there's no place for that in football, but I'm not like that. I mean, I dislike the no fun league as much as the next guy, and kind of appreciate, honestly, the passion that Pelini coaches with, but you can't cost your team, you know, big chunks of yardage in big moments, and that's certainly what happened last year at Youngstown State.
So I'm guessing what you want to tell fans is make sure you get on him early, often, as much as you can, because you might get to witness one of those famous Pelini gasket blows.
Well, I think everybody kind of goes back to what happened last year in Youngstown. both Bo and Carl Pelini created 15-yard penalties for their team. Not something, obviously, that Youngstown was able to overcome and still win that game. I appreciate, I guess, the passion that Pelini coaches with, but something that I guess I would pay attention to and watch for, because Bison fans in kind of the conservative Midwest that we live in don't really appreciate that kind of attitude. I know a number of Bison fans that have talked to me about it that, you know, really don't care for Bo and kind of the way that last game went, that don't feel like there's any place for that. So I wouldn't anticipate a very warm reception from the fans. And I honestly, you know, really wouldn't anticipate a warm reception from the students either. I'll never forget Bob Huggins brought Kansas State to the Bison Sports Arena to play the Ben Woodside Bison basketball team. And I think he had just gotten a DUI. And the entire student section whipped out their keys and just started shaking them at him. It's kind of a ruthless student section historically, especially towards, you know, the bigger name coaches like Pelini. I think Pelini would carry the same sort of cachet from a fame standpoint, at least coming to Fargo, that like a Bo Pelini would. So I'll be on the field for that game. I'll be paying attention certainly to what's said, maybe what's on signs, certainly paying attention to any sort of interaction that they might have with the staff, though they don't really put the students in any sort of position to be able to talk to any staff, maybe some players that are on the fringes, but they're sort of towards the goal line and the 10-yard line, things like that. But as far as chants and signs, I'm excited to check out what the NDSU student section might have in store for Coach Pelini.
And if I remember correctly, last season's game really saved NDSU in the playoff seedings. And now you look at where both teams are heading into this weekend. They're both 4-1 heading into it's a three-way tie atop the Missouri Valley with North Dakota State, Youngstown State, and South Dakota State. But that playoff game or that comeback last year really saved their playoff chances. And now heading into this season, it's a very, very important game once again.
Yeah, it is important. I think you're looking at a team that certainly needs to maintain where it is because they have been built for so long on winning home playoff games. And at this point, I think with a one-loss situation to a very, very good South Dakota State team with that win over Iowa, it's a team that controls its own destiny, and that was not really, as we saw, the case for last year's NDSU team, despite finishing that season with some impressive victories, finishing that season with a two-loss record and playing one of the tougher schedules in FCS. They were the third seed and would have had to go to Illinois State had Illinois State not lost to Richmond at home in the quarters. So it is important, and yes, it was fortunate enough that the Bison were able to play those games at home, but it wasn't guaranteed. And what NDSU really needs and wants is a top two seed, which is something that a Youngstown State victory, I think, can maybe provide for them, because the last two games are against Indiana State and South Dakota, and those are two teams that maybe aren't very good or aren't thought of super highly. So this is a big step. We talked about Northern Iowa being a big step. That had a lot to do with the fact that I didn't know just how good Youngstown State was. I didn't realize that they were going to be this much of a player. So maybe this is kind of the big hump to get over with those last two games. But seeding is very important, and I think this is a big game to that end.
And you look at what Youngstown State has done this season. They're 6-2 overall, 4-1 in the conference. And you look at just specifically what they've done in the month of October. They beat South Dakota at home 30-20. They beat Illinois State on the road 20-6. They beat Northern Iowa at home 14-10. Then they head out to South Dakota State and lose by 14 points, 24-10. And then last week, they get a 13-10 victory at home. Their only other loss in the season is a 17-point loss on the road at West Virginia. So this is actually a pretty good football team, and they've been playing in a lot of close games, especially in the last month.
Yes, schedule wise, they're very impressive. Of course, you know, just like box score surfing, it certainly appears as though scoring might be a little bit of an issue for them. But
certainly,
I don't have much to say about you know, their bad losses. I don't really talk that much about, I guess, the common opponents thing. We talked last week about the transitive property of football, but just seeing, you know, the schedule they've played and how competitive they've been able to be, I don't think there's any question that Bo Pelini's done a good job in his second season, and that specifically on defense, they're really starting to understand and utilize his principles in year two, and kind of take that next step to being what he envisions Youngstown State football to be. Now, you can decide kind of for yourself how long he envisions him actually being at Youngstown State, but for now, obviously Pelini's number one job is to, you know, take them to where North Dakota State is, and there's no better way of kind of getting that going, I guess, than beating the Bison in the Fargo Dome.
And so let's dive into that Youngstown State offense. They've had a lot of issues at the quarterback position. They've played three different quarterbacks this season. Their starter was Ricky Davis. He won the job but has battled injuries and consistency. Then the backup, Trent Hosek, is done for the season with a broken collarbone, which he sustained against Northern Iowa. And then last year's quarterback, Hunter Wells, started last week against Indiana State. There's a lot of different ways that this Youngstown State quarterback position can go. I mean, as you know, the quarterback position is one of the most vital, if not the most vital position on any offense. And they're struggling there, and you're seeing that reflected in their point totals each week.
Yeah, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. And that, I really think, is the issue. I just think if they're going to use the same kid that they used last year, that Ricky Davis, that's probably going to be their best shot. He is the more mobile guy, I think, anytime you're trying to score on NDSU's defense. The use of a mobile quarterback is going to be kind of paramount to accomplishing that goal. So I would anticipate Youngstown State using quite a bit of Ricky Davis, but you never know. And I don't think that even, you know, Coach Kleiman had a very good idea of where they were going to go at the quarterback position. And that's something that, you know, has haunted a lot of good, a lot of good NCAA programs. LSU struggles with it consistently. The University of Wisconsin always seems to be a quarterback away from a really good club. I think that's something that you have to stabilize as early on in the process as you possibly can, and that's not something that that Pelini and his staff have been able to do yet.
So let's look a little bit deeper in terms of some other playmakers on this offense, and you have to start with their rushing attack, and Martin Ruiz, who's rushed for nearly 700 yards, has seven rushing touchdowns, averaging 5.5 yards per carry. But I know there's also another running back you want to talk about, Jody Webb. So I think that this running attack is one that North Dakota State is absolutely going to have to stop.
Well, you know, Ruiz is the guy that everybody talks about, but he's more of the traditional back. Very good player. I have a ton of respect for him. But he's kind of in that Tyvus Smith mold of a back that really doesn't scare you, the traditional feature back that NDSU has really kind of been able to tame lately. The guy that I am scared of is Jody Webb. That was someone that the Bison last season, whether it was Robbie Grimsley or Pierre G. Tucker, even MJ Stump, just could not get that kid on the ground pretty much no matter what they tried.
You look at that last year's game, he had five carries for 132 yards and two touchdowns, and also led them in receiving with three receptions for 57 yards.
He was, I mean, basically their entire offensive production came from him. He was the number one problem that the Bison had, and they will get into trouble occasionally with scat backs. You remember, you probably don't because you weren't following the team at that point, but Indiana State had a guy by the name of Shakir Bell that was a really good running back that always gave NDSU problems. In fact, was a part of that Indiana State team that wasn't very good that beat a 2012 NDSU team that was very good. Those shorter, shiftier running backs have always been more of a problem for the Bison than big feature backs like, you know, like a Tyvus Smith, with the obvious exception of David Johnson, because David Johnson gave everybody problems.
And when you look at Youngstown State receiving game, nothing really stands out to you more than anyone else. Their leading receiver on the season has 13 receptions. That's I don't know how that's really possible, considering the amount of games that Youngstown State has played. They've played 8 games, and their leading receiver, Ross, isn't even averaging 2 receptions a game. So what are your thoughts on this passing game from the Penguins' offense?
Well, I mean, you'd call it balanced, but I don't think you need to give it that much credit. I think it's sort of a passing attack that struggles a little bit. I think they're going to have problems with that, really. This will be the first game in a long time that Jalen Allison hasn't had to focus on a number one wide receiver. They might be able to play some left and right. They might be able to play some field boundary, do a number of different things on defense that they weren't able to do these last few games. Maybe even use Jalen on that cat blitz a few times. That was really effective against Western Illinois the time that they ran it, short side of the field. You can do all sorts of different things when your number one corner isn't following around a number one wide receiver, and I just don't think they have a number one wide receiver. They're going to try to run the ball a lot, and I think if they don't use Davis to try to do that with a little bit of deception, with a little bit of quarterback stuff, they're really going to struggle, I think, because as we saw in that Northern Iowa game, and really we've seen over the last 5 years, the conventional run is not something that you want to feature heavily if you're trying to beat North Dakota State.
So let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball, and the two guys that immediately stand out to me are Avery Moss and Derek Rivers. Those two have combined for nearly 20 tackles for loss and 17 sacks. And I think this offensive line is going to have their hands full with Moss and Rivers all day.
Good players, certainly good players, good athletes. That entire front seven really is pretty athletic. I think Coach Kleiman was asked if he felt like this was the toughest test that they faced from a defense. He didn't say no. Honestly, he was asked, "Is Youngstown State the most talented team in the Valley?" He also didn't really say no. Said that they were in the conversation. I think he has a tremendous amount of respect for what Youngstown State can bring to the table, and I completely understand why. They are very impressive in the front seven, and a team that relies on that front seven for a lot of stuff. They're able to do a lot of stuff really because of the cornerback play.
And again, speaking of the cornerback play, I know you're fans of them, but the one stickler there is if they are going to be stacking the box against North Dakota State, 7-8 guys in the box, that means a lot of man coverage on the outside. So do you think this is a scenario where Herzendowski and Shepard can really benefit from the play action game, or what do you see?
Well, they're going to have to, quite frankly, because this is a team in Youngstown State that was going to do that anyway, and they've done it all season long. That's how they play Bo's defenses. They have these corners, and, you know, you had guys like Prince Amukamara and other really talented corners at Nebraska that he would leave on islands, and he's going to leave these Youngstown State corners on islands. And if that is not something that Shep and Herzendowski can deal with, You're going to have a real issue, because you're going to have a Bison run offense that's probably still without Bruce Anderson, probably without King Frazier, definitely without Brock Robbins, going against what will almost always be, in my opinion, a nine-man box, or at least nine defenders paying attention to the running game. You have to engage those safeties in a way that at least makes them think you're thinking about potentially passing the football. And to do that, you have to have some level of success doing it. And I think you really have to pay attention to just what that means for these Bison receivers.
So before we strictly head over to the offensive side of the ball for North Dakota State, what are you expecting from this Bison defense again? Coming home, they played a couple of road games. How do you think that they're going to attack this Youngstown State football team?
I think that you've seen a Bison defense now that has made the full and complete adjustment and are at a point now where they are the defense that they're going to be without Nick DeLuca. And that was an important step for them to take. I don't think there's any question about that, and something that's going to be important moving forward. And really, like Iowa, this is a fantastic matchup for the Bison defense. They're going to be able to stay in base. They're going to be able to keep Stumpf, Plank, and Pierre G. Tucker on the field pretty much at all times. They're going to be able to give Youngstown State fits, because Youngstown State is going to want to run the ball. And if they have that Jody Webb perimeter running attack stuff a little bit more locked up this season, it's going to be an issue, I think, certainly for Youngstown State to move the ball. It's not a team that's really moved the ball a whole lot this season anyway. Certainly not a team that's put up a lot of points. And so the combination of NDSU's defense rounding into form and Youngstown State's offense struggling, I really think is advantage Bison.
So let's talk about that Bison offense. And again, we've talked about it for, I think, 2 weeks now. This Bison offense, and even more specifically, the passing game, needs to start to carry its weight. And so when you look at what Youngstown State has been able to do, that they have a very stingy defense, how do you see this playing out for the Bison passing attack?
Yeah, something that Kleiman specifically pointed out in his press conference was that the pass offense needed to be better, and he wasn't singling out Easton Stick. In fact, he mentioned on a number of occasions that Easton was a player that he had a tremendous amount of confidence in, and that he felt like the staff had a tremendous amount of confidence in, and was not going to be an issue moving forward, but that everybody needed to play better. The tight ends, the receivers, the backs, the offensive line and protection, and Easton himself. Everybody needs to contribute to the pass offense if those Youngstown State defensive backs are going to consistently play that man coverage and allow all those other guys to crash against the run, because this offense needs to do its part. They're going to need to do its part in the playoffs when they go up against teams that have a little bit more punch than Youngstown State. But if, you know, Youngstown State gets held to 10, 13 points, the Bison have to find a way to win this game by double digits. They have to find a way to get to 24 points, to 27 points, to 30 points, something in that general area.
So let's talk a little bit more about the running game then. Again, we've talked about earlier in the week how Ty Brooks and Mr. Purifoy may need to get into the mix more. What are your thoughts on how NDSU is going to be able to run the ball, and how do you see that running back rotation shaking out?
I mean, it's completely dependent on health. If King Frazier can go, they're going to give him whatever workload that he can handle, and whatever, you know, he can't handle will get probably split up between Lance and Chase. I don't think they have any problem at all sticking with the three-back rotation with Bruce unavailable. But if Bruce and King are unavailable and they don't have Robbins, so they do have to, use that Morlock in the fullback position, they're going to have to use either Ty Brooks or Damaris Purifoy. They might not have to use both, but somebody's going to have to get involved, because Lance Dunn cannot carry the load by himself. He's 5'9". He's a very good back, but not a back that I would like to see get 31 or 32 carries in a game. I would like to see him get 18 carries in a game, and to see them find another way to get carries.
So finally, the thing I want to ask you about a little bit is, how do you see Easton Stick being used in the running game? You look at last year, he had 15 carries for 42 yards, not overly impressive, but he did have two rushing touchdowns, especially that last one late in the fourth quarter. Do you think that this is a game where Easton will have around those 15 carries, or do you think it'll be what we've been seeing of late going forward?
Yeah, I mean, just the way that Bo plays defense, I think it's a QB run susceptible defense, much like NDSU's is, and Easton Stick has that specific athletic ability and was really able to get going against Youngstown State a season ago. Was really part of a kind of a conservative offensive plan, I think, without Wentz that they had to go to, and then they tried to open things up for Stick this year with mixed results. this is a game where I think you might see running Easton a little bit more than you have recently, because I do think that that's an okay matchup with the way that Pelini likes to run his defense.
All right, so let's get into things here. What is your prediction for this game? I'm actually unable to find anything on Vegas for this game, but I can't imagine an over-under over potentially, oh, I don't know, 38 points. Again, two very stingy defenses with some offenses that are dealing with some problems right now. So I'm going to say this game is a 21-17 victory for the Bison at home. I just think that it's too tough of a task for Youngstown State to try and come in here and get a victory. And that'll put North Dakota State in contention along with South Dakota State again. Youngstown, North Dakota State, and South Dakota State all tied atop the Missouri Valley standings right now. So, Ross, what is your official BisonReport.com prediction?
I think it's 27-10. I think this is a statement game. I don't think you look at some of those teams that Youngstown has struggled to score against, and I don't see any reason why then you would turn around and believe that they were going to be able to score against North Dakota State, who really is rounding into another spectacular defense here. So that's where I'm at, I guess, would be right in that, two touchdown, maybe even a little bit more than two touchdown differential, because I really do think Youngstown State is going to struggle to score.
All right, so do you have anything else before we wrap up our final episode for the week?
I do not.
What do you have coming out here in the next couple of days?
Well, yeah, the Bison basketball preview is something that I have been promising for a while now. Decided, though, yesterday to include some images from that ribbon cutting, the images of the facility that maybe fans haven't gotten to see yet, and just sort of finish that up. There really is no rush, I guess, with the first real game being a week from tomorrow. So going to take my time a little bit more than that, but I would anticipate that by the end of the day. And then, of course, you can anticipate the game preview, no question about it.
All right, so I think that's going to wrap things up for Ross and I today. Again, if you want to join the Bison Report, never been a better time to do so. If you purchase an annual subscription, just $44.95 a month, you get a free year of Sports Illustrated sent to your location. 50 episodes. It's a $40 value that's included in your Bison Report subscription, and you're able to read the latest on recruiting from myself and everything football and basketball coverage related from Ross. So again, we thank you guys for listening. We'll talk with you next week in our breakdown of this Youngstown State, hopefully victory, and go Bison.